Muffin, Tiki Scratch, Scratch.
Hey, yo, mic check, 1, 2, episode 252?
Yup.
Episode 252, Serious Rap Shit Podcast. I'm John, your host.
I'm Josh, your other host.
And yeah, we about to get it in. What's going on, Josh?
You know, new month, getting to it. First, I do want to send a special shout out to Miss Elaine. Rest in peace. Sending love to our brother Notice, whose mother passed away the other day. She was like an aunt and a second mom. Like, you know, I used to sleep at her crib and she'd feed me. I went there on holidays. Like, you know, she is a beautiful, beautiful woman. And unfortunately, untimely passing. But we send our love and everything, our condolences out to Notice and his family in this time. We were talking about this a little bit before the podcast started, just like the amount of like passings we've just had to talk about, especially untimely ones
over the years.
Over the years is just kind of crazy, but you know, I guess that's one of the things about getting older. It's crazy because I actually mentioned that to somebody recently, where I was just saying like I'm fucking grateful and blessed to be here, and you know, happy to be 43 years old. Like, there's no shame in my game. I'm an OG now. You know what I mean? I take that as when the youngins call me OG, bro, I take that shit as like pure like I like that. You know what I mean?
I don't like when y'all niggas just like 38 try to hit me with that shit.
No, bro.
Chill the
fuck
out.
We the same age group.
Chill the fuck out. But the youngins, the babies and shit, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, definitely, yo. I love an OG. Love an OG shout out. That's always some. I love that. You know why, man? Because I remember being a young boy and like being like, yo, the OGs is good. You know what I mean? OGs is good folk. I appreciate that. I appreciate being where I am, man. Because there's a lot of folks ain't get here, so grateful to be where I'm at. You know what I mean? Grateful to be here, and you know, it's a beautiful, it's a blessing. We back here recording. New month, big month. We got a lot of shit cooking and rocking right now. You know what I mean?
Stuff is cooking, man. You know, March, even beyond March, 2024. I hate to be one of them artists that are like, yo, big things coming. I'm not one of those guys, you know what I'm saying? But this month and this year has been really fruitful already. And I feel good. I feel optimistic.
Inshallah. Yeah.
Some of these years I knew was going to be dog shit years. You know what I'm saying? Every year on God's green earth is a blessing.
It's a blessing.
Yeah. Some of these years I knew was going to be some dog shit years. You know what I'm saying? This one feels good. You know, outside of the fucking multiple genocides and then putting cops in the fucking subway. You know what I'm saying? Cops in the subway searching people bags and shit. Outside of fascism being on the move, I feel good. Feel good.
Yeah. You know, man, like, My big thing, bro, I've been really trying to, like you said, listen, man, it's hard. You wake up every day and you see fucking madness. As soon as I open Twitter and, you know what I mean, I'm seeing bodies or some shit. Or
you
fucking
don't
want to
ignore
on a septum bus.
Shooting on a septum bus, yeah.
Like, every day, bro, some madness. But I think, like, you know, when you talk about, like, you know, the revolutionary heroes, they always talk about, well, look for the, you know, you gotta look for the hope and like, you know what I mean? And be hope and be the movement and be positive. And, you know, like, I think about it as like, yo, man, all I can do is try to be good, positive, put out, you know, do work and be on messaging and, you know, and do my job to make the world a better place. That's literally all I can do.
Yeah. Ain't no time to be, you know, defeatist or
no
pessimistic or anything like that, because then you're certain to lose.
Yes, absolutely. If you give up. Yeah. We, you know, I think it's important, you know, what is it? The, you know, don't agonize, organize.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah, like when shit gets rough. But that's one thing I can say, and, you know, I don't want to say I love, but like one thing I appreciate when, like, when you see shit going on like this, like you see people in the streets fighting back, mm-hmm. saying fuck you, like, and that's important. And we saw it all this year with, you know, last year with the strikes, and yeah. you know, folks getting organized, unionizing, unions mm-hmm. going up all over the place, like. That's what I'm talking about. That's what you got
to
do.
Yeah. And it's about to get more intense.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? They're not putting cops on the subway just because, you know, they think niggas is, I don't fucking know what, niggas bringing a knife on the subway or whatever.
No.
You know, they're not building cop cities because they're just like, oh, this will be economic development for the city. Nah, they're anticipating widespread civil disobedience.
Absolutely. Absolutely. They saw what happened. When they saw what happened in 2020, they was like, no,
over one guy. Essentially, I mean, it was more than that. It was, you know, built up for all of that stuff. But one gentleman, George Floyd, rest in peace, sparked that. They said, oh, no, what if we kill 10 of them? What are mm-hmm. they going to do? You know what I'm saying? Niggas was in the streets for months.
Yo, they over burning that. Police stations down, bro. Like when that shit. Not like that.
Yeah. I've never seen that in this country in my lifetime. Mm-hmm. They burnt down a police station.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Motherfucker said no more, yo. And like you said, don't expect that shit to, like, we not going to let up. So don't expect them to let the fuck up.
No. They're not going to just, like, rationally be like, all right, you know, we was tripping with this whole racism, capitalism thing. We all right, we gonna chill out. Fuck no. They're gonna intensify as we the people intensify. That's just absolutely. How it goes.
Absolutely. But yo, I wake up with newfound love and power every time I see shit. Cause I see people doing the other work. You know what I mean? Doing the good works. That's what I think is important. I think we talk about that all together. Like, you know, in everything, right? Like, if you wanna find bad music, you can go find bad music. Facts. You know what I mean? You wanna find bad TV shows, you can find bad TV shows, but there's good shit. And so you need to look for the good in the world as well. Just as long as the same way you go look for good music, there's good in the world. You need to find it. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
But yeah, bro. You been up to anything popping it? Oh, hold on.
Mm-hmm.
We can't go any further until we talk about you being nominated for an award, brother.
Yes. The Pen and Pencil Club, which is America's oldest like journalism club, or I'm not exactly how to categorize it, but it's like the oldest club of its kind in mm-hmm. the country. They nominated me for best arts writer or best arts reporter. You know what I mean? So it was basically local writers, you know, in different categories who are standouts and notable in their field. They nominated me. I went to the award ceremony last night. It was in Center City. I didn't win, but literally, I have that feeling where people say, like, oh, it was good just to be nominated. I felt no way, and I'm competitive, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I felt no way about losing, you know what I'm saying? So, yeah, it was dope. Shout out to everybody who voted for me. Shout out to them for nominating me. A couple of the homies were also nominated. It was dope, you know what I mean? And I hadn't been to something like that. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was like a cool, different experience and like a fun way. I went down there, Dolo, you know what I mean? Because Liz was in New York. So I like it was dope. It was like a dope evening to like hang out with a room full of journalists and really just be honored with the nomination, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't get nominated. Well, first of all, I don't know what I do to get nominated, but I think part of the reason why I don't get nominated for stuff is because I'm not a gracious loser. And I would have cleared the fucking room.
They know this.
Up. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Folks know. I think folks get the energy. I give off that vibe. I'm like, yo, I'm not going to be a gracious loser, y'all. No,
I was just saying to somebody, like, I'm competitive, but I'm a good loser. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, yeah. I'm a competitive person who does not pout when they lose. It's fucking fine. Somebody got to win. Somebody got to lose. That's the fucking game.
No, but I'm so happy for you, man. Like, you deserve recognized, man. You deserve to get those flowers, bro. And I was really, really, really happy. When I saw that, I was like, that makes my heart big as shit, bro. Like,
that was random. That was so random.
That's always the best feeling, too.
Yep. I didn't even know I got nominated. Shout out to Alex, who works with a really dope audio production company here in Philly that I've worked with called Rohome. And Alex hit me up and was like, hey, you know you got nominated for this thing? I was like, oh, shit, word? Like, I wouldn't have known.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have known.
Yeah, I remember when we got the Best of Philly in 2020. Like, I didn't believe it was a real. I was like, this is a scam. Right. I didn't believe it was a real. Because I was like, this doesn't seem real. And I remember running it past you. Like, we like had to Google their name. Or like, let's make sure
these people legit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But no, bro, I am so happy for you, man. Like, as far as, you know, There's a lot of people I enjoy reading, right? And a lot of reasons why I enjoy reading certain people. But one of the things I love most about reading your pieces is just like the easy way you educate, and that it doesn't feel like there's times when you can read something that's like, something you don't know and feel talked down to. I don't feel talked down to when I read your articles or any of your writing. Like, I don't feel like I'm like, oh man, like I feel dumb because I didn't know this. Like, you write in a way to make people go like, oh no, I want to read more about this.
I think that's part of it. Like, I try to let people in on a thing that I've discovered. You know what I'm saying? It ain't like, you know, I didn't invent any of this shit that I'm writing about. You know what I'm saying? It's like it's like a shared experience of discovery.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Like that feeling that I used to get as a kid finding something and telling a friend about it. Like, yo, you know about this? Like, yo, have you seen this or have you heard this? That feeling has not gone away in, you know, 40 years or whatever the fuck.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So
shit, that's how a lot of our friendship started.
That's the thing, man. Somebody asked me a while ago, they were like, how do you make friends as an adult? And I said, the same way I did as a kid. Like, yo, you ever hear this record?
Yeah. Yes.
like, that's how it is. That's how it go.
I think it's one of the best things about... maybe the best things about hip hop culture, I think, is that like when you're a part of it, like you're in and you're good. And so like once you go like, hey man, did you hear this? And like if people respect what the fuck your ear, hey man, that's an easy way to get people to be like, oh, let me check this out, or like, oh, this person's got a dope ear. I want to be friends with this person because they're going to put me onto some dope ass music. Or they're going to put me onto this dope artist, or they're going to put me onto this dope whatever. Like, you know what I mean? There's a part of like sharing and like, well, it's community, man. Honestly, at the end of the day, it's community, right? So I think that's one of the most beautiful parts. And I think that's, you know, I think the most important, like, I want to make sure, man, we got a chance to, like, shout you out, bro, and, like, really give you the love and flowers that you deserve.
I appreciate it. It was dope. And, like, people were, like, very happy for me.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't have been salty about losing it. The beautiful things people said to me leading up to
yes.
it after I posted about the announcement, I couldn't be salty about losing. You know what I'm saying? Like, so yeah, it was dope, and like the award ceremony was fun. You know, no notes, no complaints.
Yeah, I think one of the biggest things is when you don't make art to win. Like, I don't make art to win awards or no shit like that, right? Like, I make art to, like, fucking make art to create. Like, that's what. It's honestly what I feel like God put me on the planet to do, right? So, you know, when we got nominated for the First Time Filmmakers and we got nominated for the best hip-hop documentary at or best, like, music documentary at Hip Hop Film Festival,
mm-hmm.
win, lose, or draw, it didn't really matter. We didn't make that film with that, and we're like, oh man, we're gonna win awards with this. It was just like, no, I want to make this cool thing and show the and share this story. You know what I mean? That's what. But like, I think that's when your shit is the most intimate and the most intent is when you do it on, you know, with the intention of just making something good, not worrying about everything else. Everything else will come out in the wash.
Yeah, I do it for the love, man.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I do a lot for the money too. But
absolutely,
you gotta. It gotta be a nice balance, you know.
But listen, we live under capitalism, bro. You gotta do it for the money.
Yeah, come on.
It's the nature of the beast. Yeah. But no, bro, that was so amazing. When I saw that, man, I was like, yo, we gotta, like, shut down. I didn't know that it was the award show was last night.
Yeah, it was last night, and I didn't find out I was nominated, I think, until like Monday or something.
Yeah, it was only a couple days.
It was crazy.
Ago. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. It was crazy.
But yeah, man, if you haven't read John Morrison's writings, go look up John Morrison and go read the amazing writings. You just dropped something in the New York Times.
Yeah, I did a thing. Fuck the New York Times on principle. But shout out to my man, Marcus J. Moore, who curates a really dope column that's like 5 minutes that'll make you love blank. Mm-hmm. It's like he recruits writers to write about a specific jazz musician. So it'll be 5 minutes to make you love Sun Ra, or, you know, they did a really dope one that I contributed to about Alice Coltrane. And the one that just came out was all about Don Cherry, who, if folks don't know, Don Cherry was a cornetist and trumpeter who played with, like, Ornette Coleman. You know, he was right there when, like, the free jazz and avant-garde revolution jumped off, but then in the 70s was right there in the mix when heads were making, like, the spiritual music, like the electric jazz movement, like the fusion and all of that. Really somebody who was there for a lot of important, like, key revolutions in jazz. So I wrote about a tune that he wrote called Universal Mother, which is a beautiful tune. It's about, he's like talking about his mom and his grandmom, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? And this record was made in the 70s, but, you know, the way he doing, like, the delivery, it could be hip hop. It could be like spoken word. The music behind it has like a hip hop feel to it, but it's, you know, it's something much older than what, you know, a rap record would have sounded like, you know, in the 90s or whatever. So yeah, it was dope. I have my reservations about the New York Times for a lot of reasons, because they, you know, the most recent reason, because they've been actively spreading pro-Israel propaganda. But, you know, Marcus and I didn't write for the propaganda arm.
No,
you know what I'm saying? I get that it's all connected. But yeah, it was a cool opportunity. So I was like, fuck it. You know what I mean? Let's do it. And
it's
it turned
cool byline
out
and a half.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Come on, niggas trying to get it, man.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? Niggas trying to make it happen.
I think we can get to our topics for the week. First one I wanted to bring up. Did you see that Jamal Bowman from New York? I think he's part of the squad. I think he's considered part of the squad. He used to be a high school principal. He became a politician. He wants to initiate a hip hop task force, which I thought was like the hip hop cops, and I was like, yeah, we have that already. Like, you know what I mean?
We've had that since the '90s. Yeah, probably earlier.
Like, I'm pretty sure that's existed for a long time now, for several decades.
Cut you off. It's crazy because when I think hip hop task force, I think of like the dance groups that used to come to school.
Yes.
They'd be like, hey guys, we're the hip hop task force. They start pop locking his shit.
Or like Saturday morning cartoon where like it's one dude has powers when he break dances and the other like graffiti is like Captain comes Planet. To life. Yeah, like that kind of shit.
Hip hop task force, unite.
Yes. And they battle like drug dealers and you know what I mean? Like that's exactly what it would have been.
Street toughs.
Yes. Don't steal that because we may sell that as a cartoon.
Yeah. We might Adult Swim holla at us. We might make that happen.
But so apparently what it is like, oh, you know, the press reading basically said like, you know, hip hop is an untapped potential for political organizing. And like the end was, and billions of dollars in available to do all different types of things. It's like that's all y'all want is y'all want more money to pour into the Democratic Party.
Y'all could have pasted that at the top, at the top of the press release or whatever the fuck.
Dog, I was like, all they want to do is use it to like half-heartedly push out messaging where they already do that. Like we've had the rap the vote and rock the vote and all that shit.
What is this but not like you were describing it, because I didn't read that shit. You were describing it, I was like, so this is just vote or die? Like,
yes, that's what it is.
Like, come on,
that's what it is.
We've done this dance already.
I honestly, you know, we've seen the numbers come out, like the polling numbers for like 18 to 34 are drastically low for Biden. So I honestly think this is more of a, hey, like, how can we like reach to younger folks? And they're going to like hire TikTok stars and, you know, Biden might pop up on Kai Cenat's fucking Twitch stream or some shit.
That would be bananas.
Kai, I don't and, like, want Juski, that to happen.
Like getting sturdy on the street.
Yes. Please do all that.
Right. Yeah. You know, The way the Democratic Party, I'm going to let y'all, if y'all are listening, I'm going to let y'all in on a secret. The way the Democratic Party can win back young voters, I'm going to be serious, I'm not going to be sarcastic. Erase or forgive, if you want to use that language, student loan debt. Give people free health care so that they don't have to be 24 or 25 on their parents' health care. And stop doing genocide. You would get a lot of fucking votes if you did that. We know y'all don't want to do any of those three things. So maybe the fucking hip hop task force will work.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, and I'm not saying this like flippantly, like, oh, this is easy. But there are some core principles that the young people that y'all are trying to reach that they want as a potential voting bloc. The Democratic Party has to understand that it's okay to acquiesce to your base or your potential base. Y'all got to figure out a way to compromise with somebody other than the fucking right.
Yeah.
And that's y'all problem. The only niggas y'all know how to compromise with and negotiate with are the fucking fascists beating down the castle doors. Your base has perfectly rational demands and principles and policies that y'all want to see enacted, and y'all do everything y'all can do to circumvent that. Mm-hmm. That's why nobody wants to vote for your fucking candidate. Like, you know what I'm saying?
I remember when they were talking to Bernie supporters in 2016. And there were Bernie supporters that were like, oh, well, if Bernie is the nominee, I'll vote for Trump. And people were like, where's, like, how do we get in the cross-section? How are we getting these people? It's like, because Bernie's speaking to, like, issues that affect. And listen, man, this isn't, like, me pumping up Bernie 2024. That's not what's happening. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm saying is that I even recently had this discussion with several people who work for our Democratic mayor. I said one of the biggest problems with the Democratic Party is that they don't message to, like, poor white people. And what I mean is that, like, they don't address core issues that affect poor white people, poor black people, poor Hispanic people, poor people across the nation. Democrats don't have any interest in, like, talking to these people. So they don't fucking, like, message to them, and they don't go, yeah, well, they don't understand that the Bernie thing of free healthcare, free childcare, you know, free college, that affects everybody. That affects everybody in this fucking country. Things that everybody worries about. How am I going to pay for my kids to get schooling? Mm-hmm. How am I going to, if I get cancer, and am I going to be fucking destitute?
Yeah. Are they going to roll me out onto the street?
Yeah.
Because I don't have health insurance. Like, roll me out on the street to die.
I gotta get to work, get somebody to watch my kid, and I need after school programs, I need before school programs, because I need to be at work at 7 in the morning, and they don't start school till 9, and now I need all these things that affect every human in this country. They don't message to.
Yeah. Y'all not focused on that shit. You're focused on how can we shovel more money into the Israeli military.
Yeah.
That's your fucking problem. And the Democrats, you mentioned influencers earlier, and it made me think of this. I saw a video, and I knew they were going to do this. I saw a video where it was like some influencer, it was TikTok, but it made it over to Instagram. Mm-hmm. Or it was TikTok or Instagram, and it made it way over to Twitter. And this person's like, black person, probably like late 20s or early 30s or whatever. They're looking at the camera and they're talking about voting. And the whole tone of it was like, y'all acting like y'all don't want to vote for Joe Biden. Guess you want Trump in, fucking losers. Da 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 da. People cannot morally reconcile with voting for Joe Biden knowing that he's killed 30,000 people in Gaza. Mm-hmm. That is not flippant. That's not anything to be easily dismissed. That's not political purity, as they try to say. If 30,000, I'm getting mad now, dog. If 30,000 human lives is just petty political purity, oh, it's just the left throwing a fucking tantrum. If 30,000 people being murdered and countless other people being maimed, mm-hmm. you know, babies being born without limbs and all kind of shit because the mother went through trauma, you know, since this shit's been happening. That plus the last 75 years or wherever the fuck this shit's been going on. If that's not significant, what is?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? What amount of blood can the Democratic Party and the Republicans are fucking animals, dog. I don't want anybody listening who may not know how we get down or may not know how to, you know, you can always assume somebody will be a new listener every episode. I don't want anybody to think that we look at the Republican Party as anything but the worst of the worst. They platforming a racist who's a rapist. In Trump, the fucking worst of the worst. Let's get that straight. but we talking about the Democratic Party because they the ones that are in power. And they're the ones with a fucking hip-hop task force. If 30,000 people aren't enough for people to reasonably be outraged, what is the amount of blood and misery that the Democratic Party can be directly responsible for to where we could say enough?
Yeah.
What's the fucking number? I want to know. I want to know what the number is. Anybody listening who's saying, who thinks and feels in their heart of hearts, I know some of y'all do, and thinks, oh, well, you know, Biden, yeah, Biden is his policy in Gaza is fucked up, but it ain't enough to not vote for him. You fucking DM me and tell me what the number is. Is it 50,000?
Because
is it 60?
Let's be honest.
Let me know.
The numbers we got are fractions because there's so many people under rubble that we won't know the true numbers of this for a long time. And that's not include, like you said, people maimed, like the displacement. Mm-hmm. All of Gaza is flat. There is no Gaza really anymore. So
that's what happened in Iraq.
Yeah.
They told us one number and then we realized, oh, it really is that times two or whatever the fuck.
Yeah. And
that's how this shit play out.
Like, you know, me and you watched this. Like, we grew up through all types of regimes in this country, and the imperialism of this country so many times. We grew up when they were fucking selling trading cards of General Schwarzkopf and fucking Colin Powell. Yeah. Like, we know what this... So, like you said, if there is a new listener who thinks, like, what do these guys want, like, Trump to win? Absolutely not. We don't want Trump to
win. Fuck no.
It ain't about that.
I don't want Trump to...
Yeah, like...
Let alone win a goddamn election.
We are vehemently against the imperialist machine, and I think, you know... Is it Baldwin's quote of like, you know, I love America and shit, so that gives me that's why I vehemently criticize it or something like that. I love America more than any other country in the world. That's why I vehemently criticize it. And that's the truth.
Yeah.
Right? Like, listen, man, like, I haven't lived in another country. I lived in Philadelphia my whole fucking life pretty much. Well, all of it. Actually, like, every fucking ounce of it, I've lived in the city.
Yeah.
And I love this city, but I'll criticize the shit out of this fucking city. It's my job to criticize the city. I grew up here, and I've paid taxes into this city. And I pay taxes for this government. And at the end of the day, I don't understand why people can't have a decent living standard here in this country, but we can spend billions of dollars at the snap of a finger everywhere else in the goddamn world. Like, that, for me, is an issue. And
for murder.
Specifically... Yeah, for murder. To send that money to murder children. Fam, I don't have no I don't have no words for you, dog. Like, at the end of the day, I can't vote for somebody out here committing genocide. Like, I can't hear, like, well, you know, what's gonna happen if Trump is in office? We, like, listen, man, we already rolled back fucking Roe v. Wade. It's like, what's he going to do? Send more of my tax dollars to fucking Israel? I mean, like, Biden's going to do that too. So what the fuck is the difference?
Yeah. And what's crazy about it, and this is the folly in the lesser of two evils thinking, you said, what's he going to do? Send more of my money? He might. Trump might. And then the Democrats will battle to try to overdo him or to outdo him. You know what I'm saying?
Yo, they ran.
So we're just sliding down a hill of shit.
But that's my thing, right? You got a hip-hop task force. We're going to have a hip-hop task force to reach out. Y'all, do you understand the culture? You don't understand the culture, and this tells me you don't understand the culture. You out here demonizing migrants. Like, what part of fucking hip-hop culture is that? Why would I be... You know, a part of the culture, would I be like, yo, yeah, I want to be a part of your hip hop task force to get more people to vote for the Democratic Party that's now outflanking the Republicans to the right on immigration.
A hip hop culture, DJ Kool Herc is Jamaican, Grandmaster Flash, is Caribbean, and countless other people that we can name. You know what I'm saying? So it's, I would argue, and none of y'all, you know, FBA, ADOS niggas, don't fucking talk to me. I would argue that at its core, hip-hop culture is an immigrant culture. Mm-hmm. A lot of it is Black American. Absolutely, a lot of it is Black American. That whole, you know, that DJ shit and all of that shit, a lot of that shit, you know, the records niggas was playing, I don't want to get too far into the history, but, you know, that's a lot of that shit is Black American shit. Mm-hmm. A lot of this shit also is a diaspora and it's immigration.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And a lot of the shit that we have, we wouldn't have gotten without some of these people who came to this country.
Absolutely, man.
Why the fuck would we want to be aligned with, like you said, they moving more to the right, and that's what they're doing now.
Yeah.
You know, this ain't the Democratic Party of the New Deal. This is a Democratic Party where the right says something outrageous and tries to present something outrageous, and now the Democrats try to follow behind it, or they try to go even more outrageous. Mm-hmm. Who wants that?
Yeah, man. I think you have to realize, like, for me, hip-hop culture is the thing that is part of the reason why I'm a leftist. Like,
facts. The same.
You know, a lot of revolutionary politics that we grew up on in, like, a Public Enemy, in Rage Against the Machine, like all that, like, you know what I mean, dog. I remember watching the Freedom video and them talking about Wounded Knee, mm-hmm. and being like, oh, what the fuck, like,
yeah,
you can do that.
Zapatistas,
yeah. Like, oh yeah. Like, oh, listening to Pop, you know what I mean, mm-hmm. like
NWA,
yeah,
X-Clan,
yeah,
you know what I'm saying,
yeah, like, you talk about, you know, these ideas and where they come from. Like, hip hop to me is very much birthed through immigrants and immigrant culture. Even if you look at it in the sense of, like, you know, drums are like the biggest thing in hip hop. Like, one of the biggest elements of hip hop is drums. Like, the drum is something that don't come from, you know what I mean, like, Europe. Well, I actually, you know what? I can't even say that. Because, you know, there's indigenous cultures in Europe that use the drum plenty. Yeah. I think it.
The shit that we got, the way that we got it, you know where that shit come from. Shit come from the motherland.
And that's what I mean. Like, at the end of the day, like, that's where this shit come from, right? And so, like, it's all building, right? It all builds on it. I can't be a part of some party that's like, yo, we don't want migrant people here, especially when those migrant people are generally indigenous people from, you know what I mean? Like, a lot of them even coming from still part of Turtle Island. So for me, you know, your borders is fake anyway, so ain't no fucking ain't no way I can side on that. I think it's funny that Democratic Party would be like, yo, we need to reach out, and it scares me because, like, we've seen this done before where they take shit and, like, yo, this is how we gonna mobilize. We need to mobilize more people, man. Like you said, speak to the people. That's how you mobilize.
Yeah. Yeah, you're going to mobilize and then browbeat people? Because, you know what I'm saying? You go mobilize, you're going to approach your base and then say, but, you know, we want your votes, but we're not going to do anything that you want us to do.
Nah.
That's like me paying, you know, Grubhub for a pizza and this nigga bring me wonton soup. I'm like, what the fuck? I didn't order this.
Yeah, but you'll take this. You'll be all
it's
right.
It's not what I wanted. Yeah, it's not what I wanted.
Fuck that.
So, yeah, we're in for
it's only going to get
a rough.
Yeah, we're coming up on the election, man. It's only going to get crazier. I do want to.
It's gonna be a rough couple of years.
Yes, absolutely. I do want to reach. Absolutely. I do want to speak on this. God, you know what's crazy, bro? Is I realized like we did this podcast at the beginning, right before Trump's election, is when like we started the podcast, the 2016 election. Mm-hmm. So just thinking of like we survived that first one, bro. I don't know if we can survive a second Trump presidency, but
we definitely don't want it. Yeah,
absolutely not. One thing I do want to mention before we get to our new music. So Cam and Mace on their, is that like a podcast or show? I'm not sure exactly what they would consider.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know how to, I guess they call it a sports show. I've heard Cam refer
to it. Yeah. So I
don't know how they categorize it.
So they had mentioned that there was like, so I want to give a little bit of background. Dame Dash lost a lawsuit to, I think, a musician who said he used... Oh, no, I think it was a director or something like that. It was somebody. He lost a lawsuit to him and owed, like, over $800,000. Apparently, he couldn't pay or wouldn't pay. And
yeah,
so the person who was suing him said, well, then I want his shares in Rockefeller. That's what it told was out to be or whatever, around 800.
Crazy.
About the amount of money that he owed. Dame, so when, I guess there was some way, like Jay-Z like caught wind of it or something like that, and Jay like offered to buy the shares from Dame for double the amount of money that the suit was going to cost.
Yeah, yeah.
And he was like, that way, you know, you walk away with the money and you can pay your suit. Yeah. Dame turned it down. I don't want to say out of pride. I don't want to speak for that man. But then news broke on the Cam, and there was a question. The person that they host the show with, the woman, I forget her name.
Yeah, I keep forgetting the sister.
Yeah, it's only because I know Cam and Mace for 25 years. Trust me, I'm bad with names. yes, I just that immediately goes to my head. The woman on the show asked them, like, so I guess she was like, I heard like you guys might have bought it. And they were like, well, allegedly, da da da.
I love that they were doing that.
So
allegedly,
it might already be done, they said. Allegedly, this might have already taken place. And the one thing I will say, more than anything, I love that it's at least in their hands. If this is true.
Yeah.
And they bought it, I'd much rather have it be in their hands than some random's hands.
Yeah, some fucking tech.
Yeah, bro. Like some dude who I don't know who he... Like, no, that shouldn't be... They built Rockefeller with... Listen, I still wish it could be in Dame's hands. But, like, you know, Dame deserves a piece of that. Never say that he don't. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I do really believe... that it should still be in his hands in some way, but like maybe they work something out. Who knows? Like, Cam and Dame are close. Like that was his people's. Mm-hmm. So
have been.
Yeah, and remain as far as I know, remain very close. And so I was really happy when I at least saw that they were the ones taking. And you know, Cam was part of Rockefeller at one point. Mm-hmm. So, shit, if it's going to be with somebody, please, let it be with people who were involved in the making of an empire, not some fucking random person.
Yeah. And Dame, you know, the Harlem connection is there.
Yeah.
I'm curious about Dame's motivation. Because if the Jay thing, you know, this is all
speculation. Yes, that's all speculation.
If the Jay thing was true... That's got to be like an intense, I'm not fucking with you energy.
Yeah.
To where a motherfucker could give you double if that's true.
Yeah.
And you still like, no, it can't be you. You know what I'm saying? That's intense. That's like, yo, I'm not fucking with you on no level.
I've heard Dame recently in interviews say that he doesn't feel like Jay really deserves the piece of Rockefeller as much because I've heard him say he didn't bring nothing to the, he was just the artist. He was just the artist.
Look at the artist he was, though, bro.
Like,
you know what I'm saying? It was a lot of motherfuckers rapping in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
In 1994, 95, and all of that shit. Look at the nigga you got.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
like, Jay, say what you will about Jay. Jay is a fucking capitalist. Jay is probably an opportunist. You know what I'm saying? Jay is a genius.
Yeah.
Jay is a fucking genius. You don't just find that walking up and down the street. Genius, and a genius with work ethic?
Yes. Yes. Like,
y'all hit the lotto with him, bro. I've heard Dame try to downplay him before. Yeah. He was doing that when Rockefeller was happening.
Yeah.
When The Rock was together, he was downplaying Jay. Like, oh, I'm the business. He the artist. Dog, that's a hell of an artist that you got.
Yeah, man. Like, and to say, like, oh, that dude had no business sense, or he doesn't know business, he's not a businessman, da 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 da. And it's like, well, he's shown that he's a fairly decent businessman. Like,
we know that they're not.
Yeah. So, like you said, like, Jay got his issues. This isn't like the Jay apology podcast. This is just reality of, like, hey, man, like, gotta respect that, like, he's been a part of he was a part of that. He helped build that. You know what I mean? Whether you feel like you did more work business wise, whatever, man. Like, I hate, one part of me, though, does really hate that they have personal issues. Like, recently we saw, just last week, we saw Big Boi and Three Stacks together. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which is also, man, like, as somebody who grew up watching them dudes, but they've never, any kind of issues have always been intimated by outside forces. Mm-hmm. From what I've always heard from them, there was never any issues between them two.
If Andre and Big Boi ever publicly beefed, the fucking leaves would fall off of trees outside. For real. You know what I'm saying? The flowers wouldn't bloom if them niggas was, like, personally, like, yeah, fuck you, nigga, da 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 da. Like the way Dame has talked about Jay publicly, for the most part, kind of gives, like, an air of being above it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, as a fellow male Sagittarius, I think that's, like, a defensive mechanism. But I ain't gonna get into the Zodiac shit. But Jay kind of presents, that's not rich nigga problems. I'm not worried about Dame. But yeah, if Big Boi and Dre was going at it or had the animosity that it seems that Jay and Dame have, I don't know if niggas' hearts wouldn't survive.
Yo, I remember when the rap broke up, bro. Folks was fucked up.
It was rough. It was rough.
Folks was fucked up.
I remember, I don't know if you remember the Source magazine when they said EPMD broke up. And they had, like, I think it was the one with, like, the Hit Squad, and it was a picture of all of them. They were at, like, I don't know, like, the fucking Hudson River or whatever. They were, like, all facing out towards the joint. It was, like, a wide shot of their backs. And he was talking about how EPMD broke up. Though I was a kid, it was like, what? EPMD? And he had some niggas run in his house?
Yeah.
And tie him up? That happened?
Insane.
That shit is real.
Insane. Yeah. And, yeah, man, like, you know, if you weren't there, Rockefeller was a movement. Like, they weren't just, you know, very much what you see in the movies of, like, oh, because we've seen it where you see the Death Row thing where it's like, oh, these dudes were, or NWA. It was like that. Rockefeller was that and bigger. Because they hit at a time when hip-hop was, like, the music industry was just throwing money at people.
Shit was popping, man.
And you could do million-dollar videos and shit like that, man. Yep. Like, you're talking about a different time They were the biggest thing in the world, man. And I'm like, yeah. I think Philly always holds a special thing for them, just simply because like they signed like a shit ton of Philly artists.
Yeah.
So
half that roster.
Yeah.
If you really break it down, yeah. half that roster.
Yeah.
Was from right here.
Yeah. So there was a different thing. I've had friends, some of my friends who were younger, who asked me like, "What was it like at that time?" Like you. It's like there's hard to explain, man. It's really,
that shit was a phenomenon.
Yeah, yeah. That Rough Riders, that time was just different. Big Bad Boy too. At a certain time was just like the size of them.
Bad Boy was crazy.
Yeah, they're just
Bad Boy was crazy.
You don't see that now. Like you don't like probably what you call it? Top Dog, TDE.
Oh, TDE. Yeah. Shit's fractured now, too.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, hip-hop never really had, like, what you would call, like, a monoculture. Mm-hmm. Maybe you could say in the very, very beginnings of it. But once niggas start making records, you're getting, like, records from Manhattan mm-hmm. that are different from the Bronx, that are different from Philly. It's shit spread out immediately. Def Jam kind of dominated the whole thing. But even then, there was a ton of other independent mm-hmm. labels doing shit. There was no real single dominating force in hip-hop. But Rockefeller was damn close.
Yeah.
Damn close. You could argue that, okay, if it wasn't The Rock, then it was... It was kind of like it was The Rock, then it was... The down south shit mm-hmm. and the backpack shit was like the competing yep. energies that kind of dominated hip hop from the late 90s through the 2000s. But Rockefeller was crazy. You know what I mean? Like Jay's influence with like clothing and shit. Niggas was just talking about this on the timeline. About how niggas was in the club with like the big button ups mm-hmm. and niggas was wearing blazers over like the white tees and shit. That wave and the Jersey wave,
yeah.
Rockefeller was promoting that shit. We ain't gonna talk about origins, but Rockefeller was promoting that shit big.
Yeah. I mean, they legitimately had clothing lines, Rockaware, and then they had two clothing lines, man. They were able to support two clothing lines.
Yeah,
that's how big and influential, how much influence they really had.
Yeah,
I don't know. I don't think you'll ever see it again. Like not in that way.
Yeah. So I don't know what the deal is with this Cam and Mace thing. Cam said in that clip because Mace was kind of spicing
it. Yeah, yeah.
Because I think Mace was kind of hinting that Nas wanted to buy it.
Ah, okay.
I think that's what niggas was saying that on the timeline mm-hmm. too, because Mace was like, "Yo," and then somebody else hit us up about it, and it would be crazy because, you know, Jay after him and Nas beefed, Jay later signed Nas.
Yeah, yeah.
So Mace was like, "Yeah, you know, it was some issues with." He didn't even say Jay name, but he was like, some issues with Jay and this other person that wanted to buy it. But then Jay signed this person, had him up under him with business. And now this person want to buy the joint. So he'll kind of be up under him. He was being coy about it, but you could tell it felt like he was talking about Nas / Mass Appeal or whatever Nas is like. Acquisitions mm-hmm. thing is whatever he does like business wise so Cam was like, I don't want to do petty stuff, I just want to do good business, I just want to do what's right.
Yeah,
which shout out to Cam for being much more mature than he was.
Well, I'll say that too, I love seeing
back in the day.
Cam and Mace on the show together.
Yeah,
like that makes me happy as somebody who
they was beefing terribly,
like violent threats about each other, yo. Yeah. I'm very happy to see that. Like, you know, we all grown men now. Like, holding on to beefs from...
man, unless somebody killed your peoples, like, and even then, like, you know, I understand it, but like, man, like, there is a there is an aspect of like, man, you got, as we get older, man, like, holding on to like silly shit, like, you know, and all that shit be money and bullshit, like little talking about each other behind each other back. Like, I think it's a shame, man. Like, it's a shame to watch like that kind of shit. So I'm happy when I see like Mason and Cam doing shit together, because it's like, yo, man, them dudes came in together. That's beautiful. You know what I mean? That's beautiful. Like, imagine Big L looking down on that.
Right. Right. And they man's bloodshed. Yeah. That died, yeah.
Like, imagine them looking down like, yo, that's beautiful. Like, that you know, that's good for the universe. Like, you know, and I'm a big believer in shit like that. Like, yo, that shit's good for the universe, man. I think we get to some new music. You listen to anything new?
Yeah. Yeah, I've been rocking with a lot of shit. This first joint is not new per se. We just got it. Like, it just came out, but it was actually made in 2017. I believe it's my man Small Professor. He has a beat tape out called "I Had to Be a Pharaoh in the Past." So this shit is crazy. It's kind of ill to explain the concept behind it. On Organized Confusion's second album, Stress, the Extinction Agenda, there's a song called 13. Niggas know, like, the hook is like rock, rock, hey, hey, hey. It's like one of my favorite songs on that record. Mm-hmm. So Small Professor takes a line from each a line in the song and basically makes a beat centered around that one line. So there's a point where Pharaoh Mont says, hence the title, "I was a pharaoh in the past," or "I had to be a pharaoh in the past." There's a line where Pharaoh Mont says, "Here comes the rain again." So he has a song, you know, that's like a beat that kind of evokes the image of like rain. You know what I'm saying? And he goes through, you know, line for line pretty much of this song and like builds beats around it. And I'm listening to this shit and I'm like, yo, this is so ill that somebody has this level of attention to detail and willingness to create worlds around like these little moments. It's just a line in a song. Build a whole beat around that conceptually and put together an entire project like this. Small Pro is like one of the illest. Like, if I'm not just saying this because I consider him a friend, you know what I'm saying? His production, it's, and his willingness to experiment. I said this in a thing I wrote about him. It's almost jazz like in his curiosity about sound. Like, when you hear John Gilmore and Sun Ra talk about Thelonious Monk's like harmonies, like the harmonies that he created, you could tell that they were like studying this shit. You know what I'm saying? Motherfuckers talking about Charlie Parker walking around with a briefcase with Stravinsky's Firebird Suite, the music to it, stuffed in a fucking a briefcase or whatever. You could tell that, like these great jazz musicians, Small Pro is somebody who really like deeply studies this shit. Just the art of taking a record, flipping that shit, making a beat out of it. Detailed and deep levels of like curiosity about this shit and about the sound and the process. So yeah, that's what I've been like rocking with. It's beautiful for like headphones and shit. It has like the texture and the warmth to it, you know what I mean? In the production. So yeah, that might be like my favorite joint that's out right now. I think he dropped it for Bandcamp Friday, maybe last week or like the week before, whenever Bandcamp Friday was, that just passed. But yeah, that shit is that's my shit right now.
I'm gonna check that
Small
out.
Professor, "I Had to Be a Pharaoh in the Past." Highly recommend it.
Yeah, I wanna definitely hear that, John. Small Professor's so dope. So
I'll definitely want to check that
out. Yeah, he's ill.
I was listening to... I've been stuck listening to this record. I don't want to say stuck, but, like, you know, I've been listening to this record a lot. It's the newest release from the homie Reef the Lost Cause, The Triumphant. Reef and Todd, Caliph Now. It is a amazing project, amazing insight on the record. I think it's the exact record I want to hear from, like, a 40-year-old rapper. Like, you know what I mean? I want to hear, like, this dude talk about being a grown-up and talk about a lot of different things. And but also be able to have fun and playful and, like, fucking be a murderous MC. Excuse me, on, like, We Around with him and I Know Roscoe and shit. Like, you know what I mean? But then have fun with shit like Papa Dose. Be super insightful and introspective on things like Fences.
Fences is ill.
Yeah. Yeah.
So ill.
Like, it's really... I talk about that song and then, like, I use it as a aspect of, like, learning and growing for myself. It's a song about fatherhood and what it is to be a man and what it is to be a father. And I talk about it and I think it's like, I really think it's super, you know, Reef has said that, you know, that song was really hard to write and and record. And I could see that. And I just think it's a beautiful piece of work. And I think people should definitely check it out. The Triumphant, it's everywhere streaming and you can get it on Bandcamp and, you know, support the homie. Yeah. So it's an amazing project. I definitely think folks should check it out.
Reef is so ill and it never ceases to amaze me how vulnerable and intimate he can be in a song as an MC. That shit's not easy. You know what I'm saying? It's not easy to open, like, your whole self up and write it in a song as honest as it can be and as real as it can be and just put it out there and then put it on all these streaming platforms and press it, the records and all of that. That's part of your spirit.
Yeah, it's hard to be vulnerable, that you're, man.
Yeah, you're willingly sharing. I know motherfuckers that can't cry.
Yeah.
And can't cry in front of people they love. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? I used to be one of the motherfuckers. You know what I mean? People that can't show anything to the world or anything to the people that they are in direct, like, relationships with and community with. And he does it for the world. That shit... and on top of being nasty on the mic, too.
Yes, exactly.
Because it ain't like, you know, it ain't like them records that Macklemore and Ryan Lewis was making that was like, you know, I'm so sad. Yeah. Blah, blah, blah. Like, it ain't that shit. You know what I'm saying? He giving you, like, real vulnerability and also shit that make you feel like somebody hit you in the head with a brick. That's a beautiful... balance of energies that he's able to pour into these records, and it's really a joy to see somebody who's reached that level of mastery with this shit. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Patterns is one thing, punchlines is another thing. Somebody who can pull you through an emotional journey, that's real mastery. You know what I'm saying? And Reef, he got it.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, this record, I couldn't recommend this shit more highly.
Yeah. Yeah, I honestly, I think it's his best record of his career. I've told him that personally. So I definitely do. I think it's like, I think it's amazing. And, you know, I think he deserves all his flowers he's been getting. It's insane. It's an amazing project. And it's beautiful to watch an artist, like, grow and,
You know what I mean? And evolve. That's awesome. Do you listen to anything else?
Yeah, I've been rocking with Filth Spector. He's a producer based here in Philly.
He's featured on the Reef album.
Real dope dude, dope producer. And he actually runs a monthly event series here with another producer, my man Q-No Rap Name. They host an event here called Flip a Beat Club, which it happens all around the country, but they host the Philly version, where the event basically a bunch of producers, they meet up at a venue here in Philly. They do it at Crate Diggers, which is a really dope Philly record store right off of South Street. If you're looking for like hip hop on vinyl, like please go down there and like fuck with my man. His selection is like bananas. So they meet up, you know, you may have 10, 12, 15 producers crammed into a record store. Everybody brings, you know, their laptops and like their drum machines and samplers and shit. And everybody gets a sample pack and they just make shit right there. You know what I'm saying? And it's a beautiful thing because it's community around beat making. Mm-hmm. But in addition to that, Phil Spector is a fucking dynamite producer, like nasty in his own right. Absolutely. And he has a new tape out called Freak Jaws. And it's a beautiful tape. It's like a Valentine's Day tape. And it's full of these like luscious, really beautiful R&B flips. Like it's a lot of like 90s R&B. It's some head nod shit, but it's also really beautiful and like tasty. Mm-hmm. Sonically, you know what I'm saying? So if you're into beats and you're into like R&B and that sort of thing, he puts like a real dope spin on it. He has a flip of Tamina, So Into You, which is like one of my favorite fucking songs. Beautiful, beautiful fucking flip. Beautiful, you know, way that he works with the samples. It was ill and it was like a nice surprise. I like seeing producers, you know, try out, like we were saying with the Small Professor shit. Mm-hmm. I like seeing producers try out and experiment and do different things.
Word. Yeah, he's an amazing producer. Amazing.
He's ill. He's so ill.
Yeah. I definitely want to check. Where's that? Is that everywhere or Bandcamp?
Yeah, I heard it off of Bandcamp, okay. But yeah, it's everywhere.
Word. Also, I checked out Schoolboy Q, Blue Lips. I really like it. I think it is a really dope record. A different sound for Schoolboy Q. But it fits, right? Like it feels proper. Like it doesn't feel like, oh wow, this doesn't kind of sound like a Schoolboy Q record. It sounds like a Schoolboy Q record, but just sounds different in the best way possible. Mm. I definitely think folks should check it out. Ohio is probably my favorite record on there with Gibbs. But it is a stellar album. I need to like spin it a few more times as far as like where do I, because I'm a Schoolboy fan, so like I fuck with his shit, so I don't know exactly where, like, for me, Schoolboy's first record is still my favorite one that he's done.
Which was the first one?
It's the one with what's the name of that one record? The one in the studio joint.
I was in the studio trying to get to
Yeah.
I don't know why I sang that shit like Sinatra. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, it's that record. It's like him on the cover with like the bucket and like there's the chain.
Oh,
and
yeah,
shit.
Yeah.
I really like I like Q. So I fuck with this record a lot. And I like that he's like, you know, expanding his repertoire, you know what I mean? And like doing some different shit, freaking stuff a little bit. Like I said, it sounds like a Q record, but it just sounds like it's, you know,
let's tweak it up a little bit. Let's turn it up a little bit and see where we go with it. So I think it's a dope record. I think people should check it out. Besides that, you can catch us on social media at Serious Rap Shit. Instagram and Twitter. You're John_Liberator. No, wait. Yeah, John_Liberator on Instagram and Twitter, right? Mm-hmm. JL_CCM on Instagram and Twitter. We have a Vevo channel, Serious Rap Shit Vevo. If you go there, you can find all our videos. There's exclusive shit up there. Check that out. New stuff goes up all the time. And SeriousRapShit.com, where all the merch is. You can go fuck with us there. Besides that, we'll be back. Remember, we're doing monthly drops now. Second Tuesday of every month. So just be prepared. We'll just keep an eye out. Always make sure you're, you know, follow us on the social media so you know what's going on. We just did a guest appearance on Hip Hop Movie Club. Shout out to them for having us. We just did an appearance on there. We talked about our film, Another Word for Paradise. Some more stuff going on with that. And then, you know, we got new shit in the works, man. We're excited about, like John said, beginning of this podcast, man. Like, we're not saying, like, oh, this is the year. Nah, this is just the year that we're going to build on and then build on and then build on and then build on because we've been building. So, you know, we're very proud of what's going on. We hope you guys fuck with it. And then we'll be back again soon. Peace.
Me and my friend take his rap shit too.